I know you guys are getting into some deep chats there on what you've come to learn this morning, which is awesome. And I want to welcome you all here this morning. If you're here for the first time, very warm welcome. And do pray that you feel love and you feel being welcomed, and that you walk out of here with something new from God's word, because this is what it's about. It's we really want God's word to help transform and change us. Have we got teens with us this morning there? Okay, great. Okay, we got some teens. Why do you guys go to school? Teens, why do you go to school? Two? Josh? Why do you go to school? Oh, okay, you don't need school. Okay. Well, you go to school hopefully to learn something. Yes. Okay. Whoa. Okay. 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 So, great. Well, very, very exciting. As you can see up on the slides here, you can see where we're going this year. I think the slide before this or the slide after this, I'm not quite sure. And this is where we are going. That slide with all the, I'm really, guys, I'm extremely excited about what God's up to here. Very, very excited, because the more that I look at this and what God's putting on our hearts here, and the more we can follow this, the more we're going to be formed into Christ. I truly do believe this. There's going to be so much transformation, because as you come and see Jesus, now we have to sit at his feet and we have to learn. And that's just sort of the process of life. But it's really transforming my heart as I'm studying things out in God's word. So it's changing me. So we are in this new part of the series of Come and Learn, and we must probably sit in this till the end of March, because there's so much to learn here. I'm going to be taking you through a couple of things, and I'm trying to preach, even though I've got 7 points this morning, it's a one-point sermon. And it's about the heart of someone who wants to learn. And then we're going into one of the biggest things that we can learn from is God's grace. It's God's grace actually matures us and helps us to learn. Then we're going to learn from Jesus is why didn't Jesus, and this is a big one, why didn't Jesus burn out? Why did Jesus Christ not, now that's not a question, Cindy, you can answer. It's not a question, and we know that he was the Son of God, but how come Jesus in the flesh didn't burn out? And we're going to look at the rhythms that he lived by, and that's going to go into March. So there is so much that we're going to learn here. Then we still have to go and come and trust, come and abide, come and love, come and die, witness. And you're going to see this whole thing with witnessing. You cannot preach God's word without it coming out of your mouth. So every one of these steps, actually, as you could see from last week, when you come and see Jesus, you're witnessing Christ. From this morning, you'll see, come and learn, or you're going to speak about Jesus as you learning and as you growing. Let's pray. Father, we hear the fans and we're grateful for the breeze over us. I know that it's extremely hot. And with heat, God, at times we can't focus. But we pray for you to do something in us this morning that we cannot do for ourselves. And help us, each one of us, in our souls and our hearts, to just zone in the next 40 minutes. I really pray for that. And that your Holy Spirit is putting something on everyone's heart, no matter what our age, where we come from, but something is going to be spoken to us this morning. And we put that before you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come and learn. Who do we learn from? How do we learn? And Jesus in Matthew 11 says, and I love these verses, and I've been pondering about this all week. And Jesus himself says, come to me. You've seen me, now come to me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so you can look at this through a few lenses, but as I've been pondering about this, I think he's talking to every one of us. Who is not weary? Okay, so no one's hands went up. Who's not burdened by something in life? There must be some burden, something in your life. There's a burden, and there needs to be a burden, because that's what life's about. And he says, so he's basically saying, all of you, this whole group here, those that are online, everyone come to me, the whole world come to me, and you're going to find rest. But he has a secret. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Very often we want to learn from Jesus, but we don't want to be yoked to Jesus. And so you have to sort of stop there and allow the word of God to sort of really come in. Yes, I want the oxen and I want the field plowed, but I'm not going to be the oxen. I'm not going to yoke myself in. And he's saying here through scripture, he's saying, come and learn from me, but before you learn from me, yoke yourself into me, abide in me, remain in me, be connected to me. We can't be with Jesus and then jump over here and then be with Jesus and jump over here. Be yoked with me and then you can learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think the big questions here is, how do we learn? How do we keep growing in life? How do we keep, and you can press the buttons, how do you keep maturing in life? How do we keep going in life here? How do we, who do we learn from? And that's just a question out there. Who are you trying to learn from? What attitude to learning and maturing do you need to have? And then another question that I thought about is, what is forming you in life? Because our lives are going to be formed in some way. And life forms our life. But what is forming you as a person? And that's a question that you need to ask. And Jesus is giving us this invitation, which is, guys, it's so exciting. He's saying, come to me. Just give me a chance. Learn how to be totally yoked in with me and come and learn from me. Because I'm full of zeal. Because I know how to do it. No, because I'm gentle and humble and hot. And Jesus could have used two other words there that would have fitted in so easily also. Because I'm full of love. I'm full of faith. I am gentle. And we did a whole sermon last year on what gentleness is. And I'm humble. Come and learn from me. And how do we, and so in your mind, you must probably be asking questions, but how? Mfundisi, how? How do we do it? Come and learn from me. Come and be with Jesus. Come and become like Jesus. Come and do what Jesus did. And we did sermon series on that this time last year, in January and Feb. Come and be with me. Come and become like me. You can keep pressing. Do as Jesus did. And that's how you transformed into more into Christ. Here's a photograph up here. Is we all need to be an apprentice. So every one of us needs to be trained by Christ. We're all coming and we are apprenticing. under Jesus, not so. And you're sitting there, and the gray-haired guy's there with all the experience, and he's helping you, and you've got the hammer, and you've got the saw, and you've got the metal, and you are just, at times, you're just watching in awe with the experience. You're just looking, you're observing, you're present, you're being with the person, and by doing that, the person's going to welcome you in to try this, make a mistake here, fail there, and that's fine. But you are yoked in, and you're with them, and you're going to become more like them, and eventually they're going to say, do as I do. And that's basically, in a nutshell, what it is to follow Christ, is to be that apprentice and to have that humble heart. Is how can I learn and how can I grow? And that just goes with life. In this room here, we've got so many skills. We've got so many folk with skills that I have not got. They've got so many folk with skills that you have not got. And if you want to get some of those skills, you have to go and be with that person. If you want to know what Sharon is up to in her life, you need to go and sit there and be in awe with her machines and be like, oh my goodness, this is what it's telling me. You know, if you want to go and see what Jason's up to, you need to go and sit in his office. You need to look at all the staff there. You need to ask questions, and you will learn. And you will be with them, and then you'll be like, man, I want to become like this. If you want to be a good counselor, sit down with my wife. Obviously, you can't sit in her appointments because they're confidential, but if you could, you'd be like, oh, is this what counseling's about? This is amazing. We've got OTs in here. We've got everything. If you want to run, go and be with someone who can teach you how to run. Just be with them and start to jog. And your life will start to change. It's exactly the same with following Jesus. It's not a religious thing. This thing's heart. This thing's everything. This thing starts to overflow from inside as you are being formed more and more into Jesus. Being with Jesus will reflect in you having a learner's heart or not. The person that's really with Jesus cannot help but want to learn and want to grow and want to be obedient to Christ, want to follow Jesus, want to understand grace, want to repent, want to change, want to forgive everything because they're with Jesus. And this morning we're going to be looking at a couple of points here. So I'm not quite sure how far we'll get, but we need to try and get through them because we've got a sermon prepared for next week also. But how do you recognize a learner's heart? So this is you and me looking into our own hearts here. This is not to shame anyone. This is not to pull anyone down. This is not to point any fingers at anyone. This is for you. And you as a teen, as a student, you know, and it is quite basic, but deep, because basic is deep. And if you can understand simple things, you can grow in them. And the first point this morning is they ask good questions. Have you ever done a study through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? But you're doing a study with a lens of how many questions did Jesus ask? I cannot answer that. I could have answered that about 3 or 4 years ago. I've forgotten. But it's hundreds. Hundreds of questions that Jesus asks. And it's interesting to note when Jesus is asked a question, very often he throws back a question. Because he's wanting to see the heart behind it. He's wanting to know that heart behind it. If you had to take yourself 2,000 years back and walk in that gathering with Jesus, with slops on, patates, in the dust, you know, if you were walking around, you would observe the questions that he asked. Proverbs 20, verse 5, the purposes of a person's heart are deep waters, but one who has insight draws them out. And this is such an important scripture here, because inside of our hearts, at times we don't even know ourselves. We don't know what's going on inside. Why am I feeling these things? Why am I thinking these things? And it's coming from a deep water, a deep well. But someone with understanding can just sit and ask questions. And ask questions. And you're drawing that person out. And anyone in this room can be trained in that. You can be trained in that through Scripture. And you can start to train yourself to have a learner's heart by asking questions. A learner's heart asks questions to understand, not to win an argument. It's not this about who's the brightest. It's not this about, you know, how much do I know and I'm going to prove how little you know. Then you've missed the whole thing. That's not what it's about at all. You're asking thoughtful, reflective questions of how and why. And what should I do here? I've seen this is the way you would respond, but why? In my situation, how would you respond? And so as you're sitting here, as your student, as you're observing, a student that's wanting to grow is continuously putting their hands up. I've got a question. I'm a bit unsure here. This is my view. What is your view on this? At times you can feel a bit insecure as you're training yourself. I've been in places where I know I want to ask certain questions, but I feel a bit insecure. I feel, man, how should I word that question in these circles here? What are they going to think of me? I've been in like lots of meetings where at times I felt, man, I really want to ask something, but how's it going to go down? And we can feel insecure, but as we're drawing closer to God and we're not worrying about how we're feeling, all we want to do is continuously grow. We've got so many questions to ask. How do you parent? What do you do here? Everyone's at a stage in life that you've never been through before. I'm at a stage in life where I've never been before. So I have not arrived. I have to ask a lot of questions. Single moms, you've got a lot of questions to ask in life. And those can be spiritual questions. Those that are older in the church, a lot of questions. Those that are younger, a lot of questions. How? Why? How can I serve? What can I do? And if we're training our hearts in this, come and learn from me, Jesus is saying. Questions that lead to deeper understanding and obedience are a sign of spiritual hunger. I've got the spiritual hunger inside of me. And that leads me to the second point. Someone who's got a heart that wants to learn, they listen more than they speak. And Jesus was a prime example of this. And as you and I are trying to become more like Christ, we have to think about Jesus' life. How did Jesus live his life? When Jesus had to speak, he spoke. But otherwise, he was quiet. And he asked questions. And he was always trying to be tricked. And he asked questions back. And there was silence at times. It's a person who listens more than they speak. In James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And sort of slowing yourself right down. Wow. Slowing yourself down. As the prayer was this morning, let's just breathe. Breathing is such a good exercise to get those emotions, those reactions out. Just breathe. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and your anger will dive down. And as we're sitting in small groups during the week, we don't want small groups where it's the person who leads the small group and it's one person in the small group that speak. That's not what it's about. And we want everyone at their own free will to participate and to be drawn out. And as you're sitting in that circle, you are learning from each other. And that's the importance, that we're there to learn from each other. That's an interesting point. I didn't know that about their life. I didn't know that struggle. I'm going to speak to them after the small group. I'm going to make a time where I can pray with them about that. That's what love's about. It's not about me giving all the words out there. A learner's heart is marked by a listener's posture. And that we don't interrupt, or we don't rush, or we don't just give opinions, but we can sit and listen and even be uncertain about certain things, and that's fine. But we're learning and we're there to be with Jesus. This last week, I met up with a young pastor, and he wanted some help. And we sat down and we had a good chat. He's been in the full-time ministry for only a year. And he started asking some really deep questions. And I was able to say, the full-time ministry is not for everyone. And in the world right now, it's one of the jobs where everyone's leaving. And the stats of you being in the full-time ministry in 30 years' time don't look pretty good, unless you're putting some things into your life. So you asked me this question: well, you've been doing it for 30 years. What has kept you and your wife together on the same page spiritually? And I sat there for a while and I was like, oh, that's a hard one to answer. I don't want to just answer because I'm answering. What has kept us together spiritually? What has been consistent in our lives over the last 30 years? And I said, you know what's been really consistent in our lives is prayer. Together. We don't pray every morning with each other, but we pray every few days with each other. And our prayers aren't just a 3-minute prayer, but at least a 45-minute prayer. And when we pray, prayer is such an intimate thing because you're speaking about your own heart. And that if you're really praying with vulnerability and about who you are before Christ, that prayer can lead to conversations afterwards that are deep water chats, like the scripture that we've just looked at. Incredible. He's like, well, sure, thanks so much for that advice. Because in the fellowship that I'm in, I just don't see that. So I said, this is something you can learn. And it's something that's kept me afloat in times that are deep and dark, is praying with my wife and knowing that Jesus is there. The third point is, how do you know you've got a heart that learns? And this point is, are you teachable? Are you teachable? And I think the trick comes up here. You can say you're teachable, but when someone corrects you, are you teachable? And I know that the place to look if you're married is in your marriage first. Because correction in your marriage, you tend to react against or justify. And again, as we're looking through the lens of Jesus, Jesus was so teachable. At 12 years old, where was Jesus? Was he sitting down with 12-year-olds? No. He was sitting down with men with big, long beards. Things that they wore that were pretty weird. Gray hair. And he is asking questions. Teachers of the law. And where was Jesus 18 years later? Correcting teachers of the law. But he sat down with them and he learned from them first. In Proverbs 9 verse 9, instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning. Correction exposes our hearts. A heart that wants to learn is a heart that is going to continuously receive. And, you know, being that someone that, man, I want to learn, I want to be taught, I really want to grow here. I want this to be an area in my life that I want to grow in. I see in myself, I am more of a learner when my walk with God is a lot closer. And I'm less of a learner and more on my own when I'm not close with my Lord. And I'm not sure about you, but that sort of works with me. And that's when other things come into our lives, like pride. I've got it, not relying on God. And I see that in my own life. And I'm like, okay, that's a warning sign. And it makes so much sense, because the more you're connecting with God, the more you're abiding with God, the more you're walking with God, the more you're bringing Jesus into every aspect of your life, in the workplace, as you're walking, as you're observing, you're seeing folk in your lives, the more you're walking with everything there. It's not just the quiet time and clocking out. Have the quiet time, but the quiet time should go all day. And the more you're doing that, the more I find I want to learn more, and the more I am observant. And this sort of leads me into the next point. A learner applies what they learn. Yes, we need to learn God's word. And it's helpful as you're reading scriptures that you know the culture, the background, who's being spoken to, why they're being spoken to, what principles can you learn, what is the exegesis of this, what can you compare it to. And that's helpful. But if that's all you're interested in, and we're not applying what we learn, then what are we? You can know every Greek word, every Hebrew word, every background meaning, but if you're not applying it in the way and that it's growing you, then it's futile. And James speaks about this. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. A learner's heart does not stop at insight. It moves on to action. And so you get this magnificent insight from God's word. And it's like, man, now how can God's spirit inside of me action plan this so that I can live this out? And you may not get it right the first time, and that's fine. And you may fall and you may make many mistakes, and that's fine as you're putting things into practice. Or say if you are studying out something about your heart and you want to be more humble, just like Christ was. And you're like, man, I'm going to put this into practice, and Satan's there too.
And you're like, man, I'm going in with a humble heart, and something just triggers you and you fall flat. But you're trying to action plan that. And that's the heart that God wants you to have, is just keep action planning it. And Jesus himself will transform and change us inside. Jesus consistently emphasized obedience as an evidence of learning. In Matthew 7, as we learned a lot of last year on this, and we see this Jesus' own words, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. And so you're hearing, you're obeying the word of God, and you're putting it into practice. And that's the life that Jesus wants from us. Not all the knowledge up here, but our practice is not out there with love. And that our lives are becoming more a life of love because of Jesus living inside of us. You're not just trying to consume information, but you're trying to live out that information so that you can be transformed with Jesus. Application is the bridge between learning and transformation. So you can also learn all about transformation, but application is the bridge. So if you want to be transformed more into Jesus Christ, you have to apply it. You're being with Jesus, you're becoming like Jesus, and you're doing as Jesus did. So in essence, to become more like Jesus, you're practicing the practices of Jesus. Not your own practices, but you're practicing the practices of Jesus. And that's what we're going to be looking into in the weeks to come. Point number five, they own their own limitations. And I think this is a very important point. In Proverbs 3 verse 7, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil." Is you cannot be good at everything. There are going to be areas in your life that, you know what, this is just not my gift set here. This person in the church is so good at that. Let me hand that over to them, but let me keep learning from them because they're so good at this. They can organize. They are incredible. Let me hand this over to them and I will support them, but they are gifted in that. We've got folk that are gifted in the church with worship. This morning I tried to call folk to come and sing because there's no one here to sing. And I called folk that couldn't sing like Lud, and no one wanted to come up and sing, which is understandable because, you know, they understood their limitations. You know, and that takes a humble heart also. The Apostle Paul even modeled this humility in his life. And in Philippians 3 verse 12, it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, but I press on." So I don't need to obtain everything to press on. I've not obtained all of this, but I'm giving my heart to all of this. This is not my gift set in some of these places here, but I am moving on. I am pressing on. Spiritual maturity increases as awareness of how much there is to learn increases. And we're continuously learning and continuously growing. Point number six, we're nearly done. I'm doing well for time. So uplift me, encourage me. Point number six, they remain curious even when they are competent or experienced. When you're really good at something, are you still curious about it? Do you think you can still learn from someone else when you're really good at something? But someone who's got a heart that wants to learn has got a heart that remains curious even when they are so experienced in something. They still want to have that heart of listening, of hearing. Proverbs 1 verse 5, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning here." And that's so important. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. So this is so beautiful. God's word is so rich. It's so encouraging. And if you and I or just holding on to Jesus and allowing Jesus in our lives and praying to Jesus, God, I just want to continuously come to you and learn from you because you are gentle and humble in spirit and just be yoked with you. That's what it's about. That's the heart that Jesus wants us to have. Even in the scriptures, Apollos is such a good example. And we all know this story in Acts 18. And it's so interesting, the word of God says he was teachable. And when Priscilla and Aquila explained the way of God more accurately, he received it. He was a God lover. He was religious. He did everything that he knew right. But he didn't know the right way to salvation. And when Priscilla and Aquila sat down with him, his heart was teachable. And his heart was open. And he responded. And they could share the word of God with him more accurately. And what does the word of God say? He didn't argue. He didn't get angry. He received it. Because he had that spirit of, man, I just want to learn. I just want to have a soft heart. I just want to keep growing. You know, and I think that's the journey that we're on. And finally, as we land the ship here, I land the plane, actually. I don't know where that came from. Sorry, this week's been a hard week. I've not been well. And my voice is going. So I'm getting here. And the final point is someone with a heart that wants to learn is they will show growth over time. And what I mean by this, there will be fruit in their life that is visible. Not immediately. Not like this, but over time. Over time, there'll be fruit in their lives. 4 years ago, I came upon this whole thing about how to be more formed into Jesus. And I was intrigued because I was personally stuck in my walk with God. And I wanted to know more. I knew a lot about God's word, but God's word wasn't transforming me the way that I wanted God's word to transform me. I started to read books. I started to go on workshops. I started to study. I started to pour my heart into this. I started to ask a lot of questions. I decided to have someone mentor me that was years ahead of me in this and to teach me so that I could be transformed and growing more and more into the likeness of Christ. And it's throwing yourself into these things. It's not just, well, you're Christian, but a Christian needs to keep growing, needs to keep maturing, needs to keep being transformed. And it's exciting when you're looking at it through that lens. It really is exciting because you are going to grow and you are going to change. And in Matthew 7, it says, by their fruit you will recognize them. What type of fruit is around us that's being transformed out of us and out of our hearts and out of that deep water place inside of us, our souls? What's going on in there? And are we welcoming folk into our lives? And so as we are landing the plane here, okay, we're gonna land the plane this time. You know, just to be thinking about what is the Spirit of God putting on your heart? And that's the most important thing. It's God's Spirit is so active. What is God's Spirit from the message this morning? Because the Spirit of God, the Word of God will never be returned empty-handed. It's not about the speaker. This is about the Word of God. It's never going to be empty-handed. The Word of God is going to put its roots down and is going to change. And that's the thing that you need to sort of pray about and think about this morning. You know, what is it that God is putting on your heart that is going to transform us? I'm really excited. I know that the sisters in the church are going to all be meeting up afterwards. And we all need someone who is willing to help us and help mature us. And I'm so proud of my wife. She's been praying about it for a long time. And she's wanting to walk with those that want to be walked with. So it's those that want to be walked with. This is not going to be you need to be walked with. If you really want to mature and grow, there's going to be a group that's going to be established in the church where she's going to meet with folk and help mature and grow folk through God's Spirit. And that's what it's about. This is not about us. This is God's church. But we need to be maturing and growing continuously. So in summary, Psalm 29, verse 9, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And Jesus is saying, come to me, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. Be yoked with me. And here the psalm is saying, he guides the humble. And whatever that means for you, where that's sitting with you. But he's not saying he guides the intelligent, those that know everything in life. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. And so some folk have been asking, where are we going this year? Well, this is where we're going this year. That whole graph thing that you saw, this is where we're going. I have got so much belief in God's word that if we stick with that and people come to church consistently and you're part of a small group consistently and you're talking about these things, yes, you need your individual walk with God, but you need your community walk with God, and you're talking about these things, you will be transformed. We are sending out every Sunday night the small group thing. And this shouldn't only just be revealed to you when you arrive at small group. Grab it 3 days before your small group. Use it as a quiet time. So when you arrive at the small group, you know what the questions that are going to be asked. You are ready to give your heart. You're ready to also keep quiet and listen and receive from someone else. And that's how we learn. It's a learning lab with each other. And that's where we're trying to go this year. What's the vision of the church? This is what we're doing. We're sticking to the basics. This is where we want the church to go because we've prayed about it. Lo and I have prayed about this, and we really believe that God is going to use us as a church through this.